show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. Still to come, Sean Ross will join us at the 11 o'clock hour, as well as U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville at the bottom of the 11 o'clock hour. So you want to stay tuned for that. As I said, 251-343-0106. I will get to your text at some point when we get the opportunity, so keep them coming. Anyway, enough of that. Joining us now on the program, very gracious to let us use his office whenever we are in Montgomery. We always appreciate it. And it's been a while since we've been able to do this. I probably haven't been able to do it since I've been on in Mobile, actually. But when I was at Huntsville, used it frequently. House Majority Leader Nathaniel Ledbetter, we're at the State House, forgot to mention that, in Montgomery. But he joins us now from his office. Leader, how are you this morning?
I'm good, Jeff. It's good to have you back in Montgomery. It's kind of good to see things kind of maybe leveling back out some.
Well, this is one of those steps to normal, I feel
Absolutely.
Like, you know,
yeah,
back in the State House and back in participating in the game here. Speaking of games, we were talking about that a little bit, and this is kind of something I've been asking all my guests today about the basketball game last night, but you got to go.
I did. It was an honor, I tell you. Some tremendous athletes, and there's no question in my mind that Auburn's the number one team in the country right now. If they can just stay healthy and keep doing what they're doing. I think Coach Pearl's done an outstanding job, and certainly knowing Coach Pearl, he's going to continue fighting hard to try to get that national championship. And Alabama played hard. They just being in Auburn's house and all the athletes they got, it was kind of a tough night for them. But it was enjoyable.
Well, Alabama's still a decent team. I mean, by historical standards and SEC basketball, it's not, you know, blue blood, you know, ACC or Big East or any of those. But it's a good team that will get into the tournament, I feel like.
I think so, too. I mean, if you think about it, looking back, they've beat three out of the final four teams that was in it last year. So
right.
I think that's a pretty good resume.
And beating Baylor and Gonzaga, you know, that's
yeah.
tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. Let's get on to the business of the day.
We just talk about sports. How about that? That'd be good.
I miss my calling being a sports talk show host. Look out, Feinbaum. Anyway, let's get into the news of the day here. Legislative session back underway. I guess a little housekeeping from ARPA and the special session last week. You feel good about how that hadn't gone?
I do. I think, you know, one thing we tried to do was make sure that we had all the members informed. I think we'd talked about that earlier, but we had caucus meeting with both the Republicans and the Democrats and had the folks that was over the department was going to be receiving the funding there and was able to ask every question they had a chance to ask anything they wanted to ask. And I think that really helped us, enable us to move the bill at a good pace. And it's certainly going to be beneficial to our state. You know, the water and sewer is certainly needed. We met yesterday with Kevin Lawrence and some of the people at Alabama Public Health Department about the issues that they have in the Black Belt and the sewer and Lowndes County in particular. And Ghost Turbleville asked me to kind of help him with some of those issues. And fortunate enough, we were able to put some money in ARPA funds to help some of that. I talked with Director Poole this morning and going to meet again next week to try to figure out how to utilize that money and put it where it needs to be.
You feel good about, you know, the, I guess ADEM and ADECA going to handle a lot of the heavy lifting here. Do you feel good about those agencies' ability? I mean, this is federal money is always tricky, right?
Yeah.
And it comes with strings attached. But, I mean, somewhat of a difficult task to make sure that it's done by the book.
Well, I think it is difficult, but a good thing about it is, you know, ADM's used to using federal funds.
Right.
So they know what they've got to do, and this isn't going to be any different. And I think, you know, they got a list that's worst of the worst, people that's really struggling with water and sewer, and I think that'll be some of the ones we'll work off of first. It's going to be a heavy lift. I mean, they're going to have to increase probably their number of folks over there to help the workload. ADECA's done an outstanding job already with the broadband issue. I mean, we started that program, I think, 3 years ago. And we've expanded across the state, picked up several thousand customers, and I think this is just a larger version of what we've been doing. And Director Boswell does an outstanding job. He and his staff, I commend them for what they've already done. So I think this is not going to be tough for them. I mean, they're ready. We worked 2 years ago to fund the money we needed for a map for the state that we desperately needed. Alabama's one of the only states in the country that's got that type of map. So I think they are ready. They knew there would probably be more funding coming, whether it's through the ETF or infrastructure bill. But so I think they're ready, and I think we'll hit the ground running.
Let's move on past the special session. Here we are. It is back into regular session. That first week, you had some hearings and not a whole lot of floor business. But now it looks like the time to hit the ground running. Everybody's qualified for elections. All that sort of all the political elements may be somewhat behind us. There's still the election to come, obviously, the primaries, et cetera. But now you really get down to business. We expect things to kind of pick up here at a different pace.
I do. We'll go in today at, I think it's 3 or 3:30, and we've got a couple of bills on the calendar already today. Then we'll have a rules committee directly after we adjourn, and we'll pick a number of bills on the special order calendar. So I think we'll see a stronger pace starting this week, and it's only going to get heavier. I mean, you know, we've had because of the pandemic, we've had a lot of members that hadn't got to move legislation that they deserve to move and really would like to move. So I suspect we'd probably have over 1,000 bills filed this session. I don't know how many we'll get out. Hopefully, you know, an average would be we'll see 1,000 or better, and maybe we can pass 250 to 300 of them.
So that just assumes everything goes pretty much as you can schedule things and, you know.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the first 2 weeks of session we come in, we had about 10 members that had COVID. The second week it was about the same. Last week I think we had two. So we're seeing a pretty dramatic decline just inside the state house. This week we hadn't got anybody yet. So I think that if the trend holds up and continues to drop, I think we'll be able to get a full session in.
Well, let's walk through some of the hot button, big ticket things I think the legislature will be looking at. First off, constitutional carry. I know the sheriffs are down, but that he has a lot of co-sponsors on a bill. I think it's either Sorrell or Prachi Robertson or Shane Stringer. But this will be the year that we'll see some kind of permitless carry system, perhaps.
I think it's a good possibility. I mean, I think one thing that I applaud them on and applaud our members on is they've been working on it. And I mean, it's still a work in progress. And certainly they've been meeting with the Sheriff's Association. They've been meeting with all the other factors and trying to put a piece of legislation together that everybody can live with. I know there's some of them not going to be happy with it.
Right.
I get that. But, this is something that's been going on for a number of years. It's not like it just happened yesterday.
We had to get the database together, and then that kind of laid the foundation.
That's right. I think the database is very important. As a matter of fact, I think the database is going to improve law enforcement in general with what Leah's willing to do and what we can do on the data to make sure that when they stop people, they know if they're on there or not, if they're dangerous or not. So I certainly think that's going to be an added tool. And, there's still been a lot of conversation about it. And, it's come out of the Senate before, and they've got it in there this time. So we're trying to just make sure it's the best bill it can be.
And then that's, the trick for a lot of these bills, it seems, the Senate will pass a lot of bills, and they'll come to the House. And it is kind of a role reversal from what it's traditionally been, where the Senate was the more deliberative body and the House passed a lot of bills, but it seems to kind of flipped over. And I don't know what you might attribute that to, but the House does seem to be the more deliberative body where, for better or for worse, a lot of things probably are better off starting downstairs than they are upstairs.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think we have become a more deliberate body over a period of the last few years, and I think that's got some of that's got to do with leadership. Speaker McCutcheon, he wants to make sure he gets things right, and I applaud him for that. I mean, sometimes we got some terrible bills that needs to be fixed, and some of them they're good. I mean, we send terrible bills to them too. It's not one sided, and they have to fix. So, everybody's got different ideas of how it should look like on any particular piece of legislation. So I think the more eyes look at it, the better chance there is of making it happen. I mean, like we talked about earlier, we'll have 1,000 bills probably and just pass probably 250 or 300. I mean, there's more ways to kill a bill or for a bill to die than there is for it to pass. And that's for a good reason, because there are always consequences in legislation, good or bad. There's always some type of consequences. It affects a lot of people. So I think from both chambers, I applaud Senator Reid. I think he's doing a great job. And Majority Leader Schofield, I really applaud their efforts. We have got a really good working relationship with him, and we'll continue to work the process.
Well, that fourth year of a quadrennium is always tricky. Now, you had the second year with COVID, it was abbreviated. As you said, you want to give a lot of your membership an opportunity to push some things that are important to their districts and their constituents. Is there any reason to think that maybe some of the things that would be big like a, we got Senator Marsh's school choice bill, or we got gambling. I think all Britain's going to drop a bill. Is there any reason to think that something that big could get accomplished this year?
You know, that's a heavy lift. Both of those bills are going to be very heavy to lift. And, you know, the thing I think, and you and I have talked about this before, the most success that we've had in legislation lately is when we all work together. You know, be it the House, the Senate, and the governor's office. And we've done that on the ARPA funds. We did it on the prison bill. We have done it on some other bills. It's been very successful. And I think for us to be able to make heavy lifts like that, everybody's got to be at the table. And everybody's got to have input, and everybody's got to see the bill and make sure that it's going to be productive for our state. And, you know, those may be. I'm not saying they're not, but I just think when you got heavy lifts like that, everybody needs to be at the table.
Because things like that, it would seem to me you need to have a more sizable chunk of time carved out to give everybody the opportunity to say and work it through the process.
Well, and that was the sponsor come and talked to me yesterday about the Marsh bill, and I told her, I said, you know, for a bill that changes our education system to Alabama to come out with 30, right now we've got 25 days to go in session, it's kind of late. And I think that bill's got to be vetted a lot. I mean, what's good for some areas may not be good for others. And I get what he's trying to do, and I applaud him for the effort. But, you know, there's certain areas. My district is a good example of that. We would never use that, you know. So I don't know that you take a shotgun approach to try to fix education. I think it's going to have to be more of a laser focus. That's my opinion.
Well, when you look at it, you could see where this bill might have some unintended consequences. So, for example, if you live in a place where the schools are relatively good and sound and people are happy with their education system, but now you have the school choice element opens up, does it open up the opportunity for a private school to come in or something of that sort just because now it's an option? Does it maybe there are some bad schools in Alabama, there's no question about it, but does it weaken good schools?
Well, I mean, anytime you move, and I hadn't seen the physical note yet, I asked her to bring it to me, and I know they're working on that. That's going to be tough to get the physical note. But I think anytime that you move what's probably going to be close to $500 million out of public schools, there's going to be consequences. And I think, you know, trying to engage a mechanism that will make it work without hurting other schools is going to be tough to do in 25 days. That's my opinion.
Well, how do you, and this is more broadly, you guys have given teacher pay raises. You put more money into the Education Trust Fund every year as a record budget. There's a lot of things the legislature has done to try to rectify this problem, yet still not quite there yet. Is it a cultural a problem, and there's maybe not necessarily a government solution? I mean, what if not school choice, if not, you know, and the Literacy Act, there's going to be a pause on it, it sounds like, coming. If not things like that, I mean, what's left to be done to try to get schools operating at least at a higher ranking among the rest of the country?
Hey, I think that's a great question. If anything keeps me up at night, it's that, you know, because it bothers me. I talked to the Chairman Garrett this morning about that very same thing. And just like I said earlier, I think we have got to change how we're doing it. I really do. I think, you know, everything we've done has been a shotgun approach. We're going to splatter it up against the wall. Maybe some of it will stick. I think we got a laser focus. We know where the problem is. We know that we got problems in poor areas. We know that we got problem in inner cities. We've got to do laser focus in those particular areas. We got to get more aides in those schools to try to help the kids. I mean, think about it. When you teach kids, there's three different levels. You got some at the highest level, some at the lowest, and some in the middle. And most teachers teach in the middle so they can try to capture both sides. But still, with that happening, the ones at the bottom gets further behind. So I think if we get, especially in K-3, if we get aides in there that can help those kids keep up and maintain what they're learning, I think we can start seeing some changes. But I think it's things like that we got to focus on those schools that's failing or is in tough situations financially, where we can go in and say, okay, what can we do to change this school? And I think I got a bill this year. It's a pilot. We're going to put it in some failing schools, and we're going to put an aid with K-3.
Right.
And I've talked to my superintendent, our city superintendent, which I think he's one of the best in the state, and he's told me he feels like that'll help fix some of the problems. So we're fixing to find out. We're going to put pilots out there and see if it does.
Well, it's more like micro-targeting, trying to isolate certain problems, right? And rather than redo the way, like you said, the way we do education in Alabama. And that just seems like an across the board. I mean, I hate to say it, and I see the merits of school choice. And as a good conservative, we're supposed to see that. But you do that, you're doing it to, it's a top-down approach. It is a one-size-fits-all approach that becomes kind of the tricky situation there, that you could do harm in some places where you're doing good in others, but you still got to kind of figure out, well, what can we do? I think it's important to at least offer some solutions, right? And it becomes more of a, let's look at each, every system is different. Let's find out what's wrong in each individual system. Does the state have that ability?
I think we got to quit making excuses and create that ability. You know, I've had the opportunity to visit Cornerstone in Birmingham. They do an outstanding job, and that's part of the school choice. I've been, have the opportunity to visit Leeds Academy in Montgomery, and they do an outstanding job, and that's part of the school choice. And I think we've made strides in that, but to overhaul the education system at this late stage on the fourth year of the quadrennium with just 25 days to go worries me. And I don't know. I think we got a lot of conversation, a lot of talk to try to get there. But we'll see how it goes. I mean, you know, we may find out that there's merit to it, and it may be something that can be positive. But I think we got to be real objective to see what's going to happen to our schools.
Leader, can you stay for one more segment?
Sure.
We'll hit. All right, guys, we're going to get a break in here, and we'll pick it up on the other side. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Wednesday morning. Still to come, Sean Ross joins us in the next segment, and United States Senator Tommy Tuberville joins us at the bottom of the hour, at 11 o'clock hour. You'll want to make sure you stay tuned for that. 251-343-0106. Still got a few more minutes here with House Majority Leader Nathaniel Ledbetter. Graciously, I would say, let us use his office once again. Always appreciative of that. It's a good spot, and it works out great for the show. Leader, getting back to what I wanted to hold you over just for one more segment here, gaming, and I know this is like a topic. It's an annual topic. You and I have discussed this for going on for years for now.
Yeah.
The last bill the Senate put down, you said it on the floor right at the close of session. It was just not tenable. It was not workable what the Senate had done. But looking at it and what McClendon and Marsh had done, they had tried to create the best deal possible, it seemed, with all the different players and the circumstances with the supermajority and you know, having to have a certain number of Democrats and just make it to get it through and done. And that seemed to be a non-starter for you and a lot of your colleagues in the House. Where should that conversation begin? Is it going to take help from the governor? Will we ever get on a place where we could put this issue to bed?
Yeah, I think there'll be a point in time where we will. You know, I don't know. I can't say when that is. I know I talked to Senator Albritton just a few minutes ago, actually, and it sounds like that they're going to drop that bill, as you said.
Right.
The one that we got it late in the session. And, you know, for us to get where we needed to be, it needed to have a lot of work done to it. The most important thing to me in that bill is being able to regulate it. Now, I think one thing that people has got to understand, and we've done a poor job explaining it, everybody talks about you're going to put gaming across the state, you're going to ruin our state, you're going to do this. The issue is, in my area, of course, you don't see it, but we've already got probably 28, 27 facilities that's not being regulated. And I think the biggest thing that the House tried to do was make it an enforcement piece where it would be regulated statewide. And, of course, as you know, the governor's got the executive amendment signed. So those places can stay open. I think her and Attorney General is just waiting on us to do something, to be honest. And, I go back to what talking about, we all got to get on the same page. And, for me, of course, I'm not a gambler, but the enforcement pieces is the biggest part. And I think that's something we've got to keep in there. And that's something before I could even speak, I have to go. That's important. And I think, we've had this bill a couple of different times. And I think each time we people learn it, maybe it's even better. I think sometimes it happens. I've had bills on the floor 3 or 4 times, and you finally are able to get them out. So we'll see how it goes.
Leader, be very kind to make time for us this morning. We were up against a break, but sure. Let's do this again real soon. It was really good.
It's good to have you here. Absolutely. You're welcome anytime, Jeff.
Thank you. All right, guys, we got to get a break. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.